The U.S. Open, this year at Oakmont.
Did you find it?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. That is cooked beyond belief. That's more than half baked there. It was burnt to a crisp. Oh, my gosh.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
U.S. Open Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
It's very good.
Gotta make that to par now, and that's what Oakmont does to you.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2 and YouTube. We got app issues.
People are saying the app's working.
Is it working now?
If you like delete it and re-download it, it's going to be all right.
I don't want to do that.
Unplug it and plug it back in. It's working. Look at that. We're back on. Hey,
it works.
We're here. What's happening, everybody?
It worked.
Good morning.
There we go. Well, there you go. The Odyssey app as well. Loaded second hour of the program. Andrew Greif will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk some NBA finals with him.
I really need a Pacers win tonight. Really need a Pacers win.
Mm.
For my enjoyment of the series.
It's a seven gamer.
Give me another one, Indiana.
Okay.
Give me another one.
All right.
They lose by 15.
Didn't you have the Thunder in five?
I might mentally check out. Yeah, but I didn't gamble on it, so there's no...
No, I had the Thunder in five. I thought you said six.
I thought it was going to be pretty quick.
Why don't you get your predictions straight, Riggins?
Why don't you figure that one out over there, huh?
I was on Thunder in six at the start when
you
we
were.
Knew it, and everyone was like, oh, that's good value.
Oh, wow.
Look at Sprague with the value.
Just stick to hockey, man. You're Blue Line Brandon, all right? NBA's not your sport anymore.
Call me with all your hockey thoughts. I'll give you my picks.
1-800-SPRAGUE.
Actually, I think that would work because it's digits.
I think it would work.
1-800-SPRAGUE.
I think
should
you
buy
pull
the
it
rights to that.
What phone number is that? Somebody call 1-800-SPRAGUE and let us know what phone number that is.
I'll call that.
Yeah, call that number.
Should I call it on the air and then just see what happens?
Hello?
So we'll talk with Andrew Greif coming up at the bottom of the hour. A little NBA Finals chatter. We have a lot to get to. I want to get to the busy offseason that might be happening for the association. We got a national pundit saying it's going to happen a lot sooner than usual.
Here it comes.
All the busy moves. But I want to start locally. I'm, you know, by the day, getting more and more interested in the NBA draft. It's around the corner.
Day by day by day by day.
And it's June 11th. Our team has the 11th pick in the NBA draft.
That they do.
And so...
It is 2 weeks from today.
Yesterday, something caught my eye. Okay? What was it, Sprague? I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Calm down. Ladies, easy. There's a lot of me to go around. Igor Demon of the BYU Cougars, the freshman phenom, he's in the NBA draft. He received a green room invite, which means potential lottery pick. Where are we picking?
In the lottery.
What do we like?
lengthy wings.
Who are white.
Who
and
are
can
white.
Handle the
That
rock.
Is true. We do love them. Yep.
And this kid's interesting because he's still so young. He's got some areas that you're kind of like, how's that going to go? But he got the invite to the room, and he doesn't do that unless enough teams told the NBA, yeah, he is on our big board. Now, yesterday I was reading something because tomorrow we might have a couple NBA guests as well because there's somebody that I was reading, Jeremy Wu of ESPN, who famously we've had on many a time. He's an NBA draft pundit for ESPN. Him and Jonathan Gavoni. They were doing articles for lottery teams, and it was basically team needs and who best fits the team need. Now, I believe I have this correct. Gavoni last year was telling us Donovan Clingan. Who worked with Jonathan Gavoni, just, you know.
The guy calling the shots who's not the GM.
Now, I think some people would tell you, Sprague, he's not talking to him like that anymore. And I'd say, yeah, right, dude. Yeah. We would still talk like that if you went and got a gig somewhere else.
We absolutely would.
So whatever Gavoni puts out, I think we need to really keep an eye on. And him and Jeremy Wu didn't want to have the same name, so they gave us two to watch. Okay? Jeremy Wu's was the Yakachonis.
Yeah, the dude from Illinois.
Yeah, the 6'6 kid from Illinois. He's very similar to Igor Demon. He can do a lot of the similar things. But Jonathan Gavoni, former co-worker of Mike Schmidt's, who's probably going to make the pick for the Blazers, Igor Demon.
Yeah.
True shooting percentage, 51.3. Says the Blazers don't appear to have any immediate needs that can be filled with a player drafted in this range, but they might be intrigued as Demon, who has the size and versatility to play on or off the ball, can slide across different positions and can grow alongside Portland's young core long term.
Hey, look at us.
So Kid gets the invite to the green room. Former coworker writes, this might be the fit. Just saying, you know. Might be the guy. Might be the pick.
Connect some dots. I mean, for everything that I've said negative about the organization, the one thing that they have made a point of emphasis that I do agree with, that I think they've done a much better job of, is getting longer and getting more athletic. That has been one of their focal points of building this roster. And Kamara's a great example of that. Denny Avdia is a little bit bigger, right? Like, it's not just 6'2" guards and under that they're trying to build the team around, and there's not three of them in the starting lineup. For that, I will give them a round of applause because they deserve it. And when you're looking at draft picks who you might be able to take with the 11th overall pick, this dude fits the bill perfectly for what they're looking for. I mean, he's a 6'9", I think he measured, right, at the combine.
I think he's 6'8" in socks.
Okay, 6'8" in socks. So you're going, what, 6'9", 6'10" in shoes, right? Yeah. He's 200 pounds. He's got a good build. You would imagine he could put on some more weight. So I think that kind of just gets you intrigued immediately. And then it becomes a question similar to all these guys who are that size and have that build. You know that there's going to be a strength that you can lean on in the NBA, and that is your length and your athleticism and all of that. Can you turn into an offensive player? You can give me the true shooting percentage, and that's great. It's not terrible in college. He also shot 27%, I believe, from three last year at BYU. And so is he a guy that can take that number and turn it into you're a borderline 35% three-point shooter, or 34%, where it's respectable at least, or are you going to be a sub-30 kind of guy for the majority of your careers? It's a hard one to solve for NBA organizations, but when you tell me what his measurables are, and then you give me the track record for this front office, he's somebody that makes a lot of sense at number 11.
Yeah, it just makes, because look, the shooting thing I can't speak to. Whether he can develop or be a good NBA three-point shooter, I don't know, man. Like, I can't translate college to the NBA.
Been bad and then ended up being good. Right. Guys have been good and ended up being bad.
Right.
No clue.
So it's not always something that's going to, cross over. You do got players that do, but not everybody will. I think what's interesting about him is just the ability to maybe handle the ball.
Yeah, at 6'9".
Create opportunities for other players, and the fact that he's so young, which is really interesting in itself, because we know the team, I wouldn't say lying, but I think the team was kind of exaggerating itself a little bit with where they're at. I know they had a better year than people expected. I'll raise my hand on that one.
Sure.
But we still largely look at this team as young, even though they still have all the vets. So he fits the mold of building up while still having so much experience on the roster, which is a really odd thing.
Yeah, you're kind of in between two timelines again a little bit, because you're telling us that you want to take a big step, but this guy's whoever you take, whether it's Demon or somebody else, you're probably not going to be a huge part of the rotation. I mean, you took Klingon.
He has to be.
Yeah, I mean, they took Klingon with the 7th overall pick. He didn't play more than 10 minutes for the first 2 months of the year last year.
100%. You're right. No, we don't need to get into this. I don't know how you don't draft a 6'9 guy and play him 14 minutes or more.
Is Jeremy Grant still here?
Is
Kamara still going to be here? Denny Avdia is still going to be here?
Kamara's in the starting lineup, all that stuff.
He is. I'm not saying he's not going to play, but I don't expect him to be a huge impact guy right away.
Now, I don't know how to interpret it, but Danny yesterday said on his show that he thinks the Blazers have to make a decision on the Scoot Ant thing now.
I mean, they should have a while ago, but
I would hope.
So now at this point, you wouldn't bring all of them back again next year.
If you were to push your chips in the middle, where do you guys think they would lean on that?
I think they would lean on keeping Ant and trading Scoot. If I had to gamble on it, that would be
Swag,
the bet
where
I would
place.
Would
you gamble on that? If they put their chips in and
what
you're
I would
trying
do
to
what,
guess Joe
what
Cronin.
The Blazers
yeah, it's not what I would do.
No, it's not what you would do. It's what you would guess Cronin would do. You're betting on his bet. You put your chips in. Are you placing it? Let's view it as roulette. Are you placing it on Ant or Scoot?
I'm placing it on Ant because they re-upped Chauncey, and Chauncey has really shown hesitancy to go with Scoot when the chips are on the line.
Not to mention the fact that Shaedon Sharpe is contract extension eligible this offseason.
That would be so crazy to have the third pick in the draft moved at this point.
I mean, here's what I'll
not
say.
Not that we haven't done it before.
If you internally have that belief behind the scenes, you don't, you can't.
You can't second guess.
Scare money, don't make money.
I agree with that,
Is that the saying? Did I say the saying right? In my cool hip t-shirt? Scared money don't make money.
You just made it worse by bringing up the t-shirt, but yes, you said it correctly.
Like, if he's not the guy, and you know that he's not the guy, or you have a strong belief behind the scenes that he's not the guy, then move his ass now.
You can't worry about what you, I, or anybody else in this city would say about trading the third pick and how you whiffed on it. No. If you don't think he's ever going to reach whatever ceiling you thought he was going to have...
Trade him before the stock appreciates to that level.
And you believe the guy that can get a bucket, even if he's not the best distributor or the best defender... If you think he better serves your purpose, yeah, you can't be too concerned of what pundits or fans on Reddit think, man.
No.
You got to react the best way possible. So when Danny said that yesterday, I kept thinking, I could be off. Maybe it's just a complete youth movement eventually, but...
That would be pretty ironic. It'd be pretty ironic if you held on to all the vets and then you make your youth movement now in a draft class next year. They won't be as good as the one this year. Like, you could have done all of this last offseason,
yeah,
you know?
I tend to agree.
That's what all of us argued of, maybe let's play the kids and get rid of some of the vets that are on your roster and make
a little
more sense.
Well, but maybe by keeping Chauncey, to Swag's point, maybe that is the change here. It's not just that they won more games than we expected. It's, hey, there's some things here that are really good, right? We would agree with that. There are some things that are really good about this.
No doubt about it.
So maybe they're like, look, why lean in with something that might bring us down more?
Yeah.
You could still add youth. The two timeline thing is a real thing, but you can have younger players play with some veteran players. Yeah. And it's not like Ant is 38.
No.
You know, he's what, 25 years old. So you'd be adding Demon to it and be like, hey, that guy's been in the league 7 going on 8 years. But he's only 6.5, 7 years older than you. You could totally do that.
Yeah, he's Anthony Simons is 26.
26, thank you. Okay, so he's 6, 7 years older than him.
Yeah.
Or 8 years, whatever it is. He has enough experience, but he's still not, like, super old.
Yeah, he's going into year 8 in the NBA, which is pretty wild that he's been around for that long, because it doesn't... but maybe part of me feels like it's longer than that, and part of me feels like it's shorter than that. He's one of those weird players because he didn't play a ton early on, and now we've seen him kind of be the focal point the last couple off seasons. I just from a base level of, like, giving me an olive branch as a fan, one of those guards has to be gone.
I tend to agree with
that. It has made no sense to me. You took back-to-back guys in the top 10. You kept Anthony Simons around. He's going into an expiring year on his contract. I keep being told that there's value there. There should be teams out there. I see these random reports all the time. You know, the insert team here is sniffing around Anthony Simons because they want a ball-dominant guard that can go score. There are situations out there that make sense for him, whether it's him or Scoot. I'm okay with it. The whole idea of having, whether it be Scoot Henderson being a third overall pick coming off the bench going into year 3 in the NBA, or Shaedon Sharpe, who, by the way, is going into a contract year. What do you do with Shaedon Sharpe this offseason? I don't think you're giving him the extension.
Oh, I'm not giving him an extension.
Right?
Yet.
So then you're going into restricted free agency. So you're basically.
Unless you're getting him on a super cheaper deal. Like, if you can get him to get whatever that number is that's cheap, and next year we go, you know, still not an amazing, but, like, that's good value.
Sure. That's also a risk because you don't know exactly what he's going to be. It's just, there's a gamble that's involved in that. And so you got a guy who is a top 10 pick going into a contract year. I'd love to see every minute possible that he could play. I saw an interview with Chauncey the other day that he did with K2, and he said, I want Shaedon Sharpe to pick up where he left off and not have to start over again. And I know he was coming off the injury and the start of the year wasn't great for him. He played better as the year went on. But part of that is being allowed the runway to go play 38 minutes a night and be the primary shot creator and have the ball in crunch time situations to fully figure out, what the hell do we have here? And are we going to give this guy $30 million a year, whether you do it this offseason or as a restricted free agent? Like, you have to be able to make those calls. And so base level olive branch is getting rid of one of those guards, whether it be Ant or Scoot, and then just picking your backcourt and going from there.
I just think the Chauncey extensions changed a lot of this. The thinking for me has changed, certainly, of, okay, they're not. This is not going the direction I thought it would. It's pivoted.
Yep.
They've taken a different turn in the road. And so I think with Chauncey being the coach, there's more things on the table than I think we thought would be on the table at this point. Igor Demon, though, I will just say, I'm saying his name right, Swag? Igor Demon? Or is it Demon?
I thought it was Demon.
Okay.
But
correct me. Demon is way cooler.
Demon is
That's cooler. Kind of a disappointment.
Yeah. I mean...
I'd prefer Demon.
I'd use his face and make him a demon and sell it as merch.
That has to be a thing. He, by the way, just turned 19 in March.
Okay.
So he will be 19 for a huge chunk of his
rookie year. University also just got blacklisted by Russia.
Oh, did they? He's from Russia.
He's a Moscow.
Yeah. He's a Moscow
he's
kid.
A Muscovite.
Is that not weird? Why would they blacklist
him? Is that a Mormon thing? Was a...
What is Russia? Is he got? They have a religion?
Orthodox?
Well, the official religion used to be atheism back in the day.
So. Yeah. Communism? Is their religion?
No, I mean, I can't, but you...
Vladimir Putin is their god?
Yeah, well, at this point, he's telling you he is.
I'm Jesus.
I saw that random, like, they blacklisted BYU, and it was like, what does this mean?
I don't know what that means.
For Igor.
Maybe they're not happy about Igor's choice in BYU,
A kick-ass Igor on your team?
That'd be cool. He's got a great name.
Yeah.
He wins the name... lottery.
Demon.
I believe so.
Thank
but
you. You should have corrected me. I'm not going to pretend that I watched a ton of BYU basketball this year.
Well, we'll talk to a BYU guy in an hour and we'll figure out. Hey, how do you pronounce his last name?
I think Swag
Let's
is
start
right.
Start there.
Every time I said demon, I'm like,
see
I think
if
it's
they've
demon.
Got the draft media guide up.
You went from super confident to now you're shaky.
No, he is.
I was not.
Maybe
super
he's a demon.
Confident.
Riggins is questioning everything.
I thought I had
Riggins
heard
is everywhere.
Demon.
Confidence is low.
No, but, Demon sounds.
You know why it's low? It's because he's not wearing a cool T-shirt like I am.
That's exactly.
If he was
his
wearing
problem.
A cool shirt like this, he would have known immediately.
Speaking of moving Scooter Ant, NBA offseason could be here rather quickly. We'll get to that next on The Fan. Well, I'm sure Rip City Reddit has been pissed off because we can't even say a name right, and they're out there reading every possible thing you can say. Yegor Demon.
Dimon.
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 Yegor Dimon.
Dimon.
Yeah. Yegor.
I'm not an
Igor. I think
no,
I prefer the
Yegor.
Igor.
I think I prefer Yegor.
But you like Yegor.
I like Yegor. Okay. Sounds like a dragon in Game of Thrones.
Yegor, yeah.
Like Yegor.
Demon.
Fire away.
Yes. I pulled up BYU game notes from last year.
I'm going to say that last name wrong again at some point.
Oh, we're going to screw it up. Right. It'll happen.
We got a Yegor.
It's in 2 weeks. It's crazy. The NBA draft is 2 weeks from today. Yep. Isn't that wild?
It's going to be here before you know it. And you know what else is going to be here before you know it?
What?
The Fan Golf Classic.
That's right.
What?
We will be doing our draft prep right there on the sixth tee.
When are we going to do our... Top 10.
We got to talk about that after the show today.
Yeah, because Dirt's just dropping. I'm out this day and that day and this day and that day. And I'm like, what?
I've already started noodling with my 10. I've got it almost dialed in.
I'm going to shoot from the hip in that. Just go with my gut.
God, dude. That's going to be so bad.
I'm gonna show my age a little bit. But
that's okay. I've been working on
Bob
mine. Cousy's
your eighth best player of all time.
No. I'm trying to gauge how I determine my top 10 with accolades. Cultural importance of the sport.
Oh, you're going that route, huh?
I am too.
What are you just... there my top 10 most talented players
there will
of all
be
time?
One position.
Is that what a top 10 should
be? There will be one slot where it will be a tie.
No.
Why is that not what a top 10 should be? It's a top 10 players in NBA history. Why does their cultural impact have to do with anything?
Who's the best receiver in NFL history?
Jerry Rice.
Randy Moss is better than Jerry Rice from a skill set.
Based on what?
Watching. Randy Moss could do things Jerry Rice could never do.
He wasn't as fast. He wasn't as committed. His work ethic wasn't
Randy
as good.
Randy Moss wasn't as fast as Jerry Rice?
I don't think so, no. Not in the open field.
Randy Moss?
Nobody could catch Jerry Rice. I did watch Randy Moss, yes. I'm familiar that Randy Moss is a very good wide receiver. Okay. But actually, I mean, that's a base of opinion, though. But what was the cultural impact? You're saying that Jerry Rice doesn't have a reason to be in the top 10? I'm confused with the argument.
No, I think Jerry Rice is the best receiver, but who's the skill best player is not, that's not how you do a top 10.
Well, it's a baseline of opinion. I'm saying I'm going to give you the guys who I think are the 10 best players in the history of the league.
You think Jerry Rice is faster than Randy Moss?
I mean, I don't know if he's faster than him. I think Jerry Rice was incredibly fast.
That Thanksgiving game,
Jerry Rice had a lot of those plays too.
He did.
Where he ran away from everybody and nobody caught him.
You think this is actually a debatable thing of who's faster between Randy Moss and Jerry Rice?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
I do.
I do think Jerry Rice football fast.
I think Randy Moss was bigger.
He was 40-yard dash.
Could jump higher. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not combine measurably fast.
Randy Moss was the better athlete. I don't disagree with that. Hmm. But the better wide receiver, those are two different, completely different things.
So how are you gauging your top 10 here?
I'm giving you the 10 best players in the history of the league. Isn't that what the list is? I'm confused.
Well, yeah, but I don't know how are you going to sort that?
By the guys who I think are the 10 best players in the history of the league.
So, like, accolades and achievements aren't going to matter?
I mean, that's part of it, sure, I guess. But, like, Bill Russell's not one of the 10 best players.
You said you're shooting from the hip, but you're acting like it's a measured thing that's easy to do.
No, you made the comment that, like, cultural impact is going to be a part of your equation.
I'm taking into account.
And that has nothing to do with mine. Because there are players who are very impactful culturally who are not top 10 players of all time.
Oh.
Bill Russell's not one of the 10 greatest players in the history of the NBA. It's not.
11-time NBA champion.
Yeah, that's really cool. He's an accomplished guy. His number's retired. What he did was incredible, and what he went through is insane. He's not one of the 10 greatest players in the history of the league.
He will be just outside of my
top. Oh, how professional of you. Just outside 11.
No.
Better than Shaq? Is he better than Shaq?
It's a way to be honorable and respectful.
Yeah,
to say,
just outside.
Coming in at number 11.
Just outside.
Real close.
Put my plus Russell. One on the list.
However,
he's not one of the 10. He's not.
As that relates to the NBA Finals.
Like, stop. What are we doing? I'm already getting pissed off about this stupid show that we haven't even recorded yet. You think Bill Russell's better than Jokic?
No.
Okay. End of argument.
I'm not saying
Can we record this on the couch in front of people so they can hear
whatever you guys want to do?
Because I don't know where else we would record this.
Whatever,
it's got to be here.
Whatever
in the
you
building.
Want to do, we can.
We'll figure it out.
I'll order up some food.
I'm going to pull question up. Who is faster, Jerry Rice or Randy Moss?
Yeah.
That one you can vote on at Dirt and Sprague.
Is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the mold if you separate position?
SGA is going to be in your top 10?
No. This relates to Bill Russell. I was thinking about this the other day.
He's playing against plumbers.
And what he is to the Thunder, I believe, most resembles what Bill Russell meant to the Celtics back in all of those things. Because
white people are crapping in his bed in Oklahoma City and he's still playing and representing?
No, to his team. So Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Kevin Durant was a Thunder for like a long time.
I understand all of that. But I'm saying as he relates to, because Bill Russell had as good a collection of players in that realm. I mean, their collection was far better than anything else at the time when there was 12 teams in the league.
Seven teams and they had 10 Hall of Famers on their roster.
But Bill Russell was, he wasn't like Steph where he did one thing better than everybody else in the league by far. But he was excellent at everything. And he gave his team whatever it needed on a particular night in a particular matchup. If it was defensively, he would focus on that. If it was scoring, he would focus on that. If it was facilitating his other guys, he would focus on that, which SGA can do, as well as he's not afraid of the spotlight. He doesn't shy away from the mic in the way Tim Duncan did. He just didn't want to deal with media, but he pulls all of his teammates with him. It is a true team environment. And if I look back in the history, aside from position, obviously SGA is out on the perimeter and Bill Russell was a center. But in terms of what he meant to his team and how he is putting this team together and bringing it along, I think he most resembles what Bill Russell meant to those Celtics teams. Now, can the Thunder in the modern day game go on and, as we mentioned, be an actual dynasty and win 2-3 in a row, 5 in 7 years? Time will tell. It's obviously very different to keep everybody together the way the Celtics could back in the day.
I don't think I tracked that logic at all. I didn't. You made some points that were good there, but
yeah.
I mean, he's averaging 30 points per game.
I understand all of that.
Yeah, he's clearly got a thing that he's great at. It's scoring. He's an amazing scoring point guard.
He's an amazing foul merchant. He's going to get into the foul line.
I don't know how this happened, but I was interrupted rudely by Jerry Rice being faster than Randy Moss. The 11th Annual Fan Golf Classic is Tuesday, June 24th.
What? Yes.
That's your local Toyota dealers. And it's also brought to you by Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, Philbrook Law, Accident Injury Lawyers, Victor Rico's, Matt's Barbecue, all on hand. Foursomes can be purchased at 1080thefan.com.
Jerry Rice is the greatest wide receiver of all time.
Neither of us are disputing.
I don't dispute that. That's easy for
but
me.
Randy Moss
is faster than Jerry Rice.
Okay.
That's also very easy to prove.
Yes. How is it easy to prove?
We watched them play football.
We did.
You didn't watch and
they
see
they were both very fast. I'm just wondering why you think that's so easy to prove.
I think Randy Moss ran like a 4.3 40.
Okay.
Randy Moss was one of the
fastest, craziest athletes to ever exist.
I'm not saying he's not a crazy athlete.
Like 5 yards off the line of scrimmage, and he beat a guy, and he put his hand up, and he just said, throw it in the air, and I'll go get it.
Yeah, he ran a 4.25 at the combine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it in pads. It was insane. Let's get to, well, we don't even have time because you gave me this 5-minute Bill Russell thing with SGA that I still don't understand. And Dirt's over here pissing me off with speed quickness about receivers. What happened to the segment?
I don't know. It went to hell quickly. All with a comment about top 10 shows that we're going to do.
Well, you know what it was? It was you just saying, I'm just going to fly at the seat of my pants, and you poo-pooed our criteria, no. But then you started giving me criteria.
I mean, yeah. Are you a good basketball player? That's my criteria. Are you one of the 10 greatest players of all time? That's how I'm judging this.
And you're going to have nobody from the 80s, are you?
No, there'll be guys from the 80s. Okay. Bird and Magic will be in there.
Okay.
They're top 10 players of all time.
Oh, look at
Nobody
that.
Nobody before 1970 will be on there, though.
Really?
Probably not.
George Mikan?
No.
Poor guy.
No.
R.I.P. There's one.
None of them. No.
You have one guy before the 70s.
Well, played into the 70s from the 60s. No.
Is Bill Russell, was he the SGA of the Boston Celtics? Listen to me. Different positions.
Just, what are we doing here?
What was that? Every star player is that, isn't? Aren't they?
No, it's a nuanced argument. I'll grant you that, but
I think it was a stretch. I think you stretched Armstrong.
A little
that
bit
thing.
Of a stretch. It's a little all bit of to stretch. Make the point of Bill Russell's not a. Bill Russell's an incredible basketball
all
player.
To tell us
he's not a top 10 player
of all
time.
He's
just not. There's not. There are 10 players.
He's not making my top 10.
That was an all-time Riggins thing.
I mean, I can give you 25 names, probably, and this is going to sound offensive to Bill Russell, but like just, yeah, dude, he's a 6'8" center.
Somebody's going to be the Bill Russell MVP of this NBA Finals. You remember that.
His cultural impact is very significant.
You remember that, young man.
Overall talent,
I just got this from, there was apparently an outage with the Odyssey app. You weren't.
Oh, I knew that. I mean, yeah.
So the status says it is resolved now.
Yay, Gore. We figured it out. There we go. Well, I didn't get my Windhorse audio. I pulled audio.
It's going to be a wild off season. Can't wait.
I think I hate both of you right now.
Can't wait.
Let's talk with Andrew.
We're going to trade a second round pick probably and just keep our roster intact. Everybody else making moves.
Run it back, bitch. Let's talk with Andrew Greif. Coming up next, he's covering the NBA Finals. Talk to him for the Daily Ticker. Don't forget, 8 a.m. We'll talk about Yegor from BYU with Ben Bagley at 8 a.m. as well. Sad story around the corner. Andrew Greif is next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Wednesday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They're on the scoreboard with today's Daily Ticker, and in your ham with summertime refreshment, reach for your favorite Pelican Brew at a store near you. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Let's talk some NBA Finals. Game 3 is tonight in Indiana. Joining us now is our good friend Andrew Greif of NBC News, covering the NBA Finals. We had him on last summer for the Olympics as well. He's hanging out in Paris. This guy's all over the map. Now he's in Indiana getting ready to go. Andrew, good morning to you. What have you made of the Finals 2 games in? We get this crazy comeback in Game 1, dominance from OKC in Game 2. Has it gone the way you thought it would? How do we feel 2 games in?
Yeah, I think that the Thunder are just kind of have a peerless amount of depth. And I think that everyone I talked with in Oklahoma City during games 1 and 2 sort of felt that Oklahoma City would win. That was their prediction. I don't think that's really wavered for me. And because of what we saw in game 2, I mean, when you can have Aaron Wiggins come off the bench and score 18 points and Alex Caruso come off the bench and score 20, and that was higher than any Pacer in that game. And they're just the bench guys. They're like the 7th and 8th men. I think that is pretty illustrative of how good and how deep the Thunder are. But game 1, I think, was another indication that this is a young team still, right? And they can make mistakes. And during the playoffs, they've been a little creakier on the road than at home. So I don't think that I'm going into game 3 just sort of assuming that this is 2 more games that are going to be the Thunder are going to win automatically on the road. We've seen some wildness from them on the road a little bit. Think about the Minnesota series. So I'm very interested in how this game goes. I don't think it's a wrap right now.
Could you walk us back through something? So SGA has an MVP season. The Thunder are a remarkable 68-win team, and they might get an NBA championship. We'll see what happens the rest of the finals. You could always play the hindsight game of like, oh, how dare they? But when they traded SGA from LA, and you covered the Clippers for a long time, you're in LA. I'm curious, when you talk to people around the Clippers, how hard that was for them to do and how much he's maybe even exceeded what their expectations were for him at that moment versus what he is now.
Yeah, I mean, they really thought he was going to be good. I really think that they knew that he was special, and it was hard in the moment to trade him. Like, I remember this is, you know, that trade for Paul George, which effectively triggered the signing of Kawhi Leonard, everyone thought that was a coup because it was in the moment. But I remember that summer talking to some people within the Clippers and just sort of kind of, I was saying like, hey, how's it going? Like, wow, he's still walking on air. This is probably, you know, 2 months after the trade. I remember very vividly, two people were like, and this is separate conversations. What they told me was basically like, I'm really upset. And I was like, what are you talking about? You just pulled off the trade this summer. And they were like, and they basically were saying that they were so sick that they had to throw in SGA in the save in the trade. I mean, that's how highly people thought about it in the moment. That isn't revisionist history. That isn't someone going back and saying, well, we already knew he was going to be the MVP. You could never have predicted that. But he had a level of coolness to him that was really apparent really early on. Like, I remember basically every day in practice, he would practice against Pat Beverly. So obviously, it's kind of a pest defensively, someone who lived to rile you up and disrupt you and throw you off your pace. And SGA would just sort of like move at one speed. You know, like you couldn't really disrupt his rhythm. He was like just an amazing sense of like calm on the court. Now, he made mistakes, of course, but like he just really was able to keep a cool head. And I remember that at the end of his rookie year, if you guys recall, the 8-seed Clippers are playing the Warriors, number 1 seed. This is like the KD's last year. So this is like peak dynasty Warriors. And they had that 32-point comeback win on the road. Mm-hmm. And it was all led by, at the very end, SGA operating, finds an open Landry Shamet for a 3-ball game. And that's just like a huge spot to put a rookie in. And it looked like he was playing in the first quarter in January. So that's how good he was in the moment. I'm sure they're sick about it now, of course, but they were even mad in the moment, like, oh, we know this guy's going to be good.
Yeah, that's a hard one when you're trying to make an all-in move, and that's the piece that they're asking for in order to get the deal done. Andrew Greif is our guest, NBC Sports, getting ready for Game 3 of the NBA Finals. We're in a great stretch right now in the league where we've had, you know, this will be the 7th, I believe, consecutive different champion. And I think it's a welcome sight for NBA fans if it's not just one team or one group that's dominating. We've done it a lot with teams that have won in the past. Boston last year, Denver with Jokic, you know, Milwaukee and Giannis have saying, oh, is this the next run? Is this the next dynasty? I'm not putting the cart in front of the horse. I still got to win 3 more games. But if OKC is to win this finals, do you have that view of them long term over the next 5 to 6 years in the NBA that this is going to be a group that could tick off a couple of these titles?
I would put them of the groups you mentioned in recent memory, the recent champions who we sort of played that game with. Could we see them going on? I would say that Oklahoma City has the best chance of that if they go on and win. Absolutely. They're just young. And it's not even that the core pieces are young. It's that the front office there has a really amazing track record of drafting well, and they have all these picks. You know, like I think that there was an assumption that when they have all these draft picks that they're going to cash them in for, you know, 5 picks for a superstar, you know, 6 picks, something like that. I think that really what the Thunder are shrewdly doing, and it seems to be borne out, is that they know that in this CBA, it is really difficult under the collective bargaining agreement to keep together expensive teams. And like you look at the Celtics right now, they had that core. It was amazing. It probably could have won them another title this year, but then they get hurt. Circumstances happen. And now they're having to sell off pieces. I mean, I think everyone in the NBA expects the Celtics to make some trades this summer to get off some of that money. So the Thunder also will hit that point where this team, although it's young right now and they're under the salary cap, like they're not in a tough position, but salary cap wise, they will be at one point because these guys are going to get extensions. And having all those picks doesn't mean they necessarily go out and get a superstar. It means you just replenish. You know, you replace the guy who is getting expensive. He has an extension. Okay, you trade him out for maybe some value, and you draft his replacement. And so it's pretty, if that's what they're going to do, which I think what most people in the league think, it seems to be a pretty shrewd way of roster management, of just sort of like keeping your core guys and then around them, moving new guys in, moving new guys out. I think that's why they would be set up to have the best chance of success. But look at the 2012 Thunder. We all thought they were going to be back for titles and titles and titles.
Yeah.
and they never were.
Yeah. Last one from me here, Andrew. If this series is shifting back to Indiana and the Pacers are making it a series more so than people give them credit, what's the thing for you with Indiana that if they can hit on this or these areas, you think they can really make this thing more interesting? I think people are kind of resigned, which is unfortunate, that the Thunder are just going to steamroll. We're going back to Indiana tied 1-1. And so, like, they're sitting in a good position here getting home court. What do the Pacers need to do tonight and going forward to have a chance to pull this thing off?
Yeah, I mean, what we have seen in both games so far is the Thunder have just an incredible half-court defense. And we knew this going in, number one ranked defense in the NBA all season, remains that way in the playoffs. So Indiana has been at its best when it's running. It just killed New York in transition in that Eastern Conference Finals. I think that if they are going to have a chance, they have to get easy points and kind of get back to what they do well, which is run fast, get out in transition. And if they can score on Oklahoma City kind of in those non-half-court situations, it's going to make life so much easier for Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam, et cetera. Mm.
Andrew Greif, NBC Sports, covering the NBA Finals. Go give him a follow on Twitter at Andrew Greif. Also, his book, Beyond Fast, is going to be coming out at the end of September. It's right up your alley.
Looking forward to it, my man.
It's a running book, so very good stuff. Always enjoy the conversation, man. Thanks for the time in Portland this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, always appreciate you guys. Let's do it anytime you want.
There you go. Andrew Greif of NBC Sports talking some NBA Finals.
I'm glad he's back on the NBA, man. He was a fantastic beat writer on the Clippers beat. I don't know what the LA Times is doing. That's a whole different conversation, but I'm glad he's back around the association.
We've had a hard time with Jermaine O'Neal for 20 years. Imagine you traded away SGA.
Well, that's the thing that's funny. Is like, it's easy for us to play that game. People were like, they liked Jermaine.
Yeah.
The Clipper people internally loved that dude.
They did.
And Doc Rivers even famously came out and was like, I don't want to trade him. I don't want to lose him. And they lost him.
They lost him.
And he has become even better than they thought he would. But they had an idea that that dude could be absolutely elite, and he's hit that expectation.
The Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They're on the scoreboard with today's Daily Ticker. And in your hand with summertime refreshment, reach for your favorite Pelican brews at a store near you. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. A storm is a brewing. A frenzy is upon us. Next on The Fan. All right, we'll find out more about Yegor Dimon. Coming up at the top of the hour.
Dimon.
Nailed it.
Yeah, I want to know where his weaknesses were, maybe the expectations of him coming in versus what they got. They had a nice little tourney run.
They did. BYU had a really good year this year.
They just extended their coach. They've been blacklisted by Russia. They're having a nice run for themselves, BYU. Their football team appears to be good again. How about that?
Their Kalani football Sitake? Team is pretty good. I know. Yeah. And they lost their basketball coach a year ago. Mm-hmm. So they had to bring in a new guy. Look at that. It's all working out for them. So we'll go there at the top of the hour. Before we were rudely interrupted with Jerry Rice, Randy Moss takes a couple of segments ago, you had something that you wanted to talk about. And I saw this yesterday, too, and I wanted to play it.
Yeah.
And wondering, will we be the Jerry Falwell in the corner?
I think the majority of the action in this offseason is going to occur around the draft. Typically, we get most of the action between June 30th and about July 3rd. I think this year, because it's not really a free agent year, it's going to be, and there's going to be,
thanks, Stephen.
Molly, potentially there's going to be three or four picks in the lottery that might be available, might be movable. Teams moving out, teams moving up, teams moving back. And so that's going to be attached to bigger deals. So let's put it this way. Shams has cleared his calendar and he's preparing to work his hardest around the draft. And we are going to go right from the NBA finals into the free agent, into the offseason headlong. You're going to get your action very soon.
Very soon. Draft is 2 weeks away. Brian Windhorst says a frenzy is upon us.
When you're about to get freaky at night, you think about it.
Look, I'm well aware
that to get freaky.
They may go a Yegor, Jakachonis, Carter Bryant. Cedric Coward, which Oren wrote a great piece on Cedric Coward at Willamette. That was a lot of fun. The fact that he even played at Willamette was insane.
Pretty cool.
They very well could go that. That'd be kind of matching what they are as a front office and organization. I'm also super open to trading. I don't know why we wouldn't be. What is guaranteed to you at 11?
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Right, those players could be good. I'm open to a lot. Like somebody asked me yesterday, hey, who do you like them to take? I actually like a lot of players. I'm still kind of going through the full list and trying to really get a read on most of them before I decide ultimately, like, oh, maybe not so much high on that guy. But, sure. Like, all of them have points, right? Coward, 3-and-D guy, rangy, athletic. Carter Bryant, a little bit of a project from the perimeter, but athletic, lengthy, young, can develop. Mm-hmm. This kid out of BYU, not perfect, can handle the rock, playmaker, same kid from Illinois, same thing. Like, there are these players, but I'm also open to all of it. And I think the idea of dismissing trading the pick, I don't understand that. Why would you dismiss the idea if it nets you either multiple first-round picks,
sure,
which is another opportunity to add more talent to your team.
If somebody's desperate for something at 11.
Or package it and, you know, be involved by getting a good young player that matches kind of what you have.
I mean, you used a first-round pick last year in the offseason and ended up landing Denny Avdija, who had a bigger impact right away.
Yes.
Denny Avdija, or who you would have, obviously that was a future pick, so it's an apples to oranges scenario.
Well, one of those picks was, didn't they switch with the Wizards? I'm trying to remember. I feel
a
like
pick
they
swap in there.
They switched.
We drafted Bud Carrington. Carrington was a Blazer for a moment on the dais. He put on a hat.
That's
and
right.
Traded his
and
ass away.
Sent that to Washington.
Take your ass to Washington, bub.
So, I mean, are you guys against the trading of the pick?
Not at all. I said yesterday that I think they should
evaluate whatever deal they do to see if I think it was good or not. But I don't. If they trade it, let's hope they know what they're doing.
Yeah, mainly I'm just going off of what they've told me. And they've told me that they're progressing and they're close and they feel like they might have their superstar on the roster. And so if that's the case, why are we going to draft a guy that might take 3 years to develop when you're ready to win now? I'm a little confused by, again, the two timelines we talked about earlier. So let's find out more, though, about who they might be drafting at number 11. Yegor Dimon, the freshman from BYU. We're going to go to BYU for to kick out the final hour of the show. We got Satter Story coming up at 8:15, Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Whole bunch of stuff that we probably still won't get to, but loaded final hour nonetheless. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.